Our scripture lesson today is from Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
You know, just a reminder about our prayer concerns and joys that for those of you who receive the e-note that I send out every week on Monday mornings, that at the very conclusion of it, we have the joys and concerns as well as announcements of the church. And so they're updated every week. So every time you forward these to me, they don't get lost. They aren't put away in a drawer somewhere, but they get put on the e-note as well as we carry them in our hearts throughout the rest of the week. Amen. Would you pray one more time, this time with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts find approval and acceptance in thy sight, O Lord, for truly you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. These concluding verses from Matthew 11 are among the most quoted and beloved statements ever to come from the mouth of Jesus. That celebrated preacher from the first part of the 20th century, G. Campbell Morgan, once said these words about them. In all probability, no words that ever fell from the lips of our blessed Lord have more remarkably and profoundly taken hold on the heart of human beings than those of the last three verses of this paragraph. With them, Jesus extends to us, even as he did to his own disciples, two very specific invitations. In the first half, we are invited to come to him. Simply just come to him. That is, we are asked to approach him and yield ourselves up to him, any persons who may be feeling overwhelmed or overburdened for one reason or another. He says, come unto me, all ye who are weary and overburdened, and I will give you rest. And Jesus means by burdens any and all cares, any and all guilt, any and all fears and anxieties and sorrows and pains and trials and difficulties. He wants anything that might rob us of our faith, our hope, and our joy. Anything that might serve as an impediment between ourselves or with our relationship with God. We are to take all of them to Christ because he understands just how we feel and he knows what to do with them better than we could ourselves. Well, the reality is that we're all overburdened in one way or another. Of course, with some of us having greater burdens than others. But who among us hasn't felt the impress of deep loneliness, regardless of how many family and friends we might have? Who among us doesn't have some concerns about advancing age and the physical and financial limitations that come with growing older? Just in the past couple of years, two of my cousins have passed away that I grew up with, and two individuals from my last pastorate who I came to love very, very much, one who served as kind of a surrogate father for me, another who was the same age as myself. Where I once believed that I would live forever, I find now the scent of mortality surrounds me and grows stronger with each passing day. The truth is that all of us, at one time or another, must shoulder bereavement, the burden of unrelenting guilt, the burden of regret, the burden of festering anger and hatred, the burden of poverty and hunger and declining resources. We can find ourselves all dominated by various problems and concerns and responsibilities to the point that our faith is weakened and our joy becomes almost negligible. But I assure you this morning that Jesus knows and understands our situation and concerns. And this is why he invites us to come to him, because he alone is able to give us rest from life's most crushing loads, whatever they may be. All that Christ demands of us is not that we make some kind of theological confession, such as Jesus is divine. He doesn't ask us to declare that he's part of the Holy Blessed Trinity. He doesn't ask us to join his church and to begin proselytizing others on behalf of his kingdom. He simply says to us, come. Come to me, and I'll take care of the rest. It is his summons for us to enter into relationship with him, and it is a relationship with him that will change our lives forever. Now, how often during the course of his ministry did you hear him say, come to me? learn of me, follow me, love me, obey me. He stated, I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the light of the world. I am the bread that came down from heaven, meaning that all truth and morality and religion was contained not in his dramatic miracles, not in his profound teachings, but in his own person. And that we can only know and discover true truth and morality in religion only when we enter into dynamic personal relationship with him. The most revolutionary aspect of his ministry was that he illuminated the world not by what he said or what he did, but by coming to him, we were invited to share his life, his very life as well. A couple of years ago, I read how John Lennon, the former Beatle, could no longer walk around in public because he'd become so famous, and he became imprisoned in his own apartment, addicted to television, because that became the only portal, the only way that he could find out what was really going on in the world. Well, he particularly enjoyed watching America's best-known evangelists, persons like Pat Robertson and Billy Graham and Jim Baker and Oral Roberts. In 1972, he wrote a desperate letter to Oral Roberts, confessing his dependence on drugs and his fear of facing up to what he called the problems of life. He expressed regret that he had said several years earlier that the Beatles were more popular than Jesus, and enclosed a gift for Oral Roberts University. After quoting the line, "Money can't buy me love," from his former number one hit, he said, "It's true. The point is this, that I want happiness. I don't want to keep on with the drugs. Paul told me once, you made fun of me for taking drugs, but you will regret it in the end. Explain to me what Christianity can do for me. Is it phony? Can he love me? I want out of hell." The words of John Lennon to Oral Roberts. Well, Oral Roberts wrote back to Lennon saying, "I thank God that you see this, John, and finally regret thinking any man or group could be more popular than Jesus. Jesus is the only reality. It is Jesus who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So you see, your statement that because of your hard background you've never wanted to face reality is actually really saying that you've never wanted to face our loving Lord. What I want to say, as I tried to say in my other letter, is that Jesus, the true reality, is not hard to face. He said, come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You said, John, that you take drugs because reality frightens you. Remember that as you open your life to Jesus, he will take away all the fears and give you peace. Peace that passes all understanding." Though Lennon later rejected Christianity, describing himself again as a born-again pagan, it does show us how the invitation to come to Christ with all of our burdens, with all of our pride and problems, does have a universal attraction. And when we do hear its call, when we do sense its clear summons upon our hearts, then is the time for us to respond in faith. But then we come to the second part of this invitation. And that's when Jesus said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Now, this is a rather strange request. Because for if in the first half of it, we are enjoined simply to come to him with all of our burdens and all of our problems, and we will find rest for our souls, then in the second half, we discover that this rest involves assuming the same yoke that oxen are often outfitted with when they pull heavy loads, and that we are to take that yoke and place it upon our own shoulders. To experience this rest, we are first required to slip an ox yoke over our necks, keeping in mind that an ox yoke is a wooden horizontal bar that binds two oxen together for the purpose of pulling a cart or a plow or a stone grinding wheel. But then, and only then, will we experience the relief that we also yearn so deeply for. And so we are confronted with a bewildering paradox here. The idea that Christ offers us rest involves strenuous exertion. It seems like a clear contradiction, doesn't it? How are we to rest and work at the same time? Jesus asks us to surrender our burdens to him, all the while expecting us to become, so to speak, a beast of burden ourselves. I think from the vantage point of human logic, it doesn't make much sense. But when you look at it and you reflect on it from the logic of God, it makes all the sense in the world. However, to understand what Christ means by this, we first have to clarify his reference to an ox yoke and just how it worked. Now, one commentator has tried to explain how an ox yoke worked this way. There was an old farmer plowing with a team of oxen. As I saw this team, I was somewhat amazed, for one was a huge ox and the other was a very small bullock or a small ox. That ox towered over the little bullock that was sharing the work with him. I was amazed and perplexed to see a farmer trying to plow with two such unequal animals in the yoke, and I commented on the inequality to the man with whom I was riding. He stopped his car and said, "I want you to notice something. See the way those traces are hooked to the yoke? You will observe that the large ox is pulling all the weight. That little bullock is being broken into the yoke, but he is not yet actually pulling any of the weight." And my mind instinctively turned to the passage of Scripture where our Lord said, "Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am." And in the normal yoking, the load is equally distributed between the two that are yoked together. But when we are yoked with Christ, we discover that he bears the load. And we who are yoked to him share in the joy and the accomplishment of the labor, but without the burden of the yoke. Now, in the ancient world, the yoke was a very powerful symbol of subjugation and submission. It was not only laid on the necks of oxen, but even prisoners of war and slaves had yokes. The Jews would speakingly refer to the yoke of the Torah, which was a reference to submitting oneself to the yoke or the authority of Jehovah and of his word. When Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me," he is virtually saying the same thing. He invites us to become his pupils, his disciples, and to submit ourselves unto his lordship. And if we do, he promises that he will give us rest. With Christ always at our side to help us, our load, regardless of how heavy it might be, will suddenly become light and easy, especially since, like the big ox as opposed to the young bullock, Christ is carrying the load of it. We may bear half of it, but he bears the other half, the heavier half. And because he is gentle and humble in heart, we never have to fear that Christ might abandon us or reject us or find somebody else to have to take our place. As the younger, smaller, much weaker bullock had to learn not to fight the yoke or fight the larger ox that was situated at the end of the ox yoke, so we must become meek and lowly ourselves and learn to trust Christ, who bears the greatest responsibility and burden in our relationship. We can be assured that if we even grow weak or stumble or fall along the way, that he will be there to support us until we reach our goal. And of that, each of us can be confident. And it is that confidence in him, it is that assurance of his abiding love and care with us and for us, that serves as the basis of all our rest, our peace, and our security. But we have to keep in mind that in spite of the rest that we are promised, Jesus never once ever promised that ours would be a life of ease. The rest he offers us is never from work, but rather it's rest in work. Bearing the yoke of Christ will always involve our effort. Following will always involve risks and challenges. It was St. Paul who instructed the church at Galatia, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." In other words, just as Christ shoulders us, and as he bears our burdens with his yoke, so are we now to strengthen and support others with our yokes as well. Just as he makes it possible that we never have to walk alone, we can ensure someone else that he or she never has to walk that mile alone either. To selfishly give ourselves over to someone else's cause, to help them when they stumble, to feed them when they hunger, to clothe them when they are naked, to be present in the loss of their loss of sorrow. This is what it means to offer our yokes to others whose burdens may be crushing them down. And in this way, we become a series of crutches to each other. And the church becomes a community of yoke bearers, each of us connected to and bearing one another up throughout our lives. Thus, even as Christ invited us to himself with the words, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my load is light." So now do those very same words become our invitation to others to assume our yoke, to offer them to bear their load, so that they may never be crushed entirely beneath its weight. But then we come to the final and most important point of all. If you think that by coming to Jesus and by trusting in him and submitting to his lordship that suddenly all your burdens will disappear and all your troubles will be gone, like a lot of those television preachers will try to remind you about, it ain't gonna happen. The fact is that as long as we live in this world, still awaiting the promise of heaven, we will still have to contend with some modicum of guilt and fear and loneliness and anger and insecurity in our lives. You see, it's part of the human condition, and we can't escape being human, can we? However, because we know that we are tethered to someone who loves us with an everlasting love, to one who promises that nothing will ever separate us from either his presence or his love, whatever burdens we do carry hardly seem burdensome any longer. In fact, they will prove to be quite light and even bearable. And this is the effect that love has on us, that when we love, even as we are loved, we then have the capacity to endure the worst of afflictions and the heaviest of loads that life can lay on us, and that we can do so humbly and joyfully without complaint. William Barclay was that great Scottish New Testament scholar who wrote an amazing commentary on the New Testament. And in one of his books, he writes this. He talks about a man who came upon a little boy who was carrying an even smaller boy who was lame on his back. "That's a heavy burden for you to carry," said the man. "That's not a burden," replied the little boy. "That's my wee brother." That's not a burden. That's my wee brother. The point being that any burden which is given in love, any burden that is carried in love, is always light. My friends, this morning there are many kinds of burdens among us, whether they are burdens of declining health, or burdens of a broken relationship, or burdens of bereavement or guilt over a troubled past. Maybe they're burdens of loneliness or the oppressive burden of poverty. But we also have a surplus of yoke wielders, of burden bearers among us, so that when you joined Christ's church, you discover that you never had to carry them all by yourself, that the church is a fellowship of burden bearers who have learned themselves just how impossible it is to try to carry them by yourself. So I would ask you this morning to remember the words of the psalmist when he says, "Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you. Cast your burden on the Lord and he will sustain you." Do not refrain from ever bringing to Christ every one of your needs, your cares, and your worries. Trust that Jesus is more than willing to impart to you his own strength. But also remember that when you choose to join this or any fellowship in which Jesus Christ is the head, we, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, assumed an obligation to help bear yours and each other's burdens regardless of what they were. As St. Paul exhorted the church in Galatia, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." It does not say that we are to carry them all, but we are asked to stand at your side with you to help you shoulder them just as we would expect you to do for us. And then you may be certain that the joy and the peace and the rest that you have so desperately longed for your entire life has finally been found. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to turn our life with all of its cares and problems and worries over to you, because we know, and you understand better than anybody else. Help us to experience and exhibit the peace and joy and rest that comes when we truly learn to simply trust in you. And in Christ's name we pray. Amen.